I have spoken in public a few times, but the last time I really spoke formally in public was at my bar mitzvah. It's been a while.
Very young.
Yeah. I mean, the main reason I think that I was drawn to win, to offer to speak, rather, is because Josh is somebody very close to a lot of people. And I know that if somebody says, whatever I speak about, I feel comfortable, then if I spoke with Josh, he would be very encouraging, because that's how he was. I think I shared the only Chavrusa on Deansgate for a number of years after Mincha, Davni Mincha, with Josh, and after we spoke about school policies, we would then speak about Dvar Torah or something, and he was always very encouraging. Very soft spoken, and he always listened. So whether he agreed with what I was saying or not, I don't know. But he certainly was very warm about it. And we had this chus. Simon Wonder organized the healing for every day for the first few months when Josh was ill, and then when Simon left, and I was left there with the minion, and then I've since left that town. But I believe they're still saying the Hillim after Mincha every Monday and Thursday, which is it's over a year that. So I was drawn to say something. It's not really something which the Netziv says that in life one should start with the basis of halacha, get through halacha, that's the motor, and after the motor is the Tao, which is Agoda, and then you can understand Teva. Which is the Shemesh, but so I'm a bit hypocritical that I'm not going to say anything in the halacha. I'd go something which is an idea which I was struck a number of years ago. My wife's great grandfather came at Tzvi. That is a connection because my late mother-in-law hailed from Sunderland, same place as Josh. But her grandfather came at Tzvi, and I was also heartened. I came here, I think it was for Yankee Black's Ufruf, and I saw that Rabbi Dr. Hibbert gives a shiur in the morning on the Kerem HaTzvi. There's a few chevra that sit around. The Kerem HaTzvi is a very powerful person with a lot of very, very dynamic things that he says. And I was struck by something he said a few years ago, where he separates Briyas HaOlam before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. And he asks the simple question that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded before Matan Torah to strike the rock for water, in B'Shalach, and yet he gets punished in Chukas for hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Why? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do wrong? He did wrong, but why the Kosh Baruch Hu give him a command after Matan Torah to hit the rock, to speak to the rock, as opposed to before Matan Torah, where he said you can hit the rock? Why was that change? And he says there's a fundamental difference between Briyas HaOlam before Matan Torah and the world after Matan Torah. And he explains that before Briyas HaOlam, before Matan Torah, the world is there's no obligation on mankind to bring out the nes that there is in Teva. Even the Avos were not commanded by Kosh Baruch Hu to keep anything; they chose through their own volition. But there was no direct command upon mankind to show Kvod Shemaim and the Gilui of Kosh Baruch Hu before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, mankind is commanded to show the Gilu Shechina that there isn't Teva. He says, when the Pasuk says, "Im lo brisi yom v'layla chukos shemayim v'ot lo samti," if not for the bris of Torah, which is yom v'layla, we were told to keep the Torah of day and night, v'gisav yom v'layla, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Chukos shemayim v'ot lo samti," I would not have, nor pshatit, I would not have created shemayim v'aretz. He says, no, it's not that I would not have created. Lo samti means I would not have asked you or required mankind to be Meshadei Teva, to have a control over Teva, to bring Kvod Shemayim out of Teva, only once I gave you the Torah. the question is that this obligation was given at Matan Torah, but he says, and every time I read from year to year, something else new that I've seen it, that he says, he also says that this bris starts from Bereshis. Because Bereshis is made up of the word bris and the word Eish. There's a bris of Eish. That's away from Bris HaOlam, from the beginning of time. From Bris HaOlam. But Rashi says that when it came to Yom HaShishi, we don't refer to the sixth day as Yom Shishi, like Yom Chamishi, we say HaShishi. And Rashi says, because the world was Tolu V'Omed, it was hanging in a balance, it was suspended until we came to Matan Torah. That means there was a world, but that world had a different dynamic, different structure, different way that mankind had to conduct itself before Matan Torah as opposed to after Matan Torah. So it's a different world. It's a world after Matan Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something happened at Matan Torah that was different than before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, there was a change in the Bria, but the Torah also became not a different Torah, but there was a different form of Torah. Meaning, and this was the second part that developed after I saw the Kema Tzvi, and the Chavrusa showed me a few interesting things that we see with regard to what happened at Matan Torah. Because the Ramban says in the beginning of his Hakdomah to Sefer Bereishis, he says, I met Rabbi Hassan a few days ago, I mentioned this Medrash that the Ramban brings, which he says that he doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand the Medrash. I'm not going to profess that I do understand it, but the words, it's important for us to at least hear the words. Even if we don't understand the depth of what the Medrash is saying, what the Ramban is saying. He says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah, when Moshe Rabbein came to the Torah, my Chavrusa showed me in the Shloah and the Chidot brought down that it was a black fire, a shchoira on a white fire. Rabbi Sanz, he doesn't know what that means. I do understand myself. But the Shloah and the Chidot writes that Moshe Rabbein didn't understand what was going on here. He saw a black fire on a white fire. And the Ramban brings this Medrash, the beginning of the Hakdomah to save Bereshis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring the words, make them clearer. And still Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand what the words were. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give it to him in the form of the Pshat, the way we have it. The Chidah and the Shloah say that there was a Torah of Soid, there was a hidden Torah, which we don't understand, but the Gaon brings us, I refer to it later, the Gaon brings that the Ayachidim, there are individuals who can't understand this. We can't necessarily understand it. We understand a Torah of Pshat. But there was a Torah of Soid. And the way the Gaon explains is that the Torah in its form was originally in Shomayim, which is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with that Torah. We say, Shtaku Baraisa Bora Alma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah. That's the Torah that was at the time of Bris HaOlam. That Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into it. It was made up of the Shemit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without any breaks. And the Gaon I referred to later explains how this made a practical difference. Not just in, we talk about things that we don't understand, but he explains it in a practical example of how this played out. But this Torah was in Shomayim, was a Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a Soid in Shomayim. And there was just Shemit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe couldn't understand this. And the Shloah explains this was the Vikuach, this was the Machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim in Shomayim. The Malachim turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, "You can't let this Torah leave Shomayim. You've got to keep it up here. You can't give it to mankind." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to answer the Malachim's claim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "In our Torah it says, 'Lo signo v'setzing v'shonot.'" Relevant to the Malachim. So what's the Malachim? The Malachim knew that. So what were they, what did they think? That they want the Torah to stay in Shemayim. So the Shloah says, no, what they wanted was they wanted the Torah to stay in the form of which the world is created. It's a Torah of Soid, it's got Shem Zakosh Baruch Hu, it's a way that can be used by Malachim in Shemayim, why give it to mankind in the form that we have it? So what's Moshe Rabbeinu tying it back to them? What's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Let us have it in our form. Well, that's yeah, but that's not an answer. That you want your form, let's stay up here in the form that we have it in Shemayim. The answer is, as the Gaon was come to, says that there are individuals who can understand this Torah of Soid, of Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in this world. And therefore, mankind can have Torah of Pshat and Torah of Soid, where the Malachim can only have Torah of Soid. And that was the argument that Moshe Rabbeinu is having with the Malachim. So this is the Torah of Soid. Moshe Rabbeinu wins that argument and is able to bring down a Torah of Pshat to this world. The Gaon, I have to say, I didn't keep a clock for 2 hours, it's not going to be half an hour, that's for sure, it'll be definitely less than that. Sorry about that. So the Gaon explains that, the Gaon asks a question which the Gemara is troubled with, in Gemara Menachos, that is a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to who wrote the last words, the last 8 words of Torah. When Torah says Vayomos Moshe onwards, who wrote those words? And it can't be, says the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote those words in the normal form, because that would be Moshe Rabbeinu lying, because he's writing Vayomos Moshe and he's writing about something which hasn't happened yet. So Rabbi Yehuda says that Yeshua wrote those words. Those last 8 words, Yeshua wrote by from Vayomos onwards. Psukim. That's not what I say.
Words.
The last 8 psukim. Last 8 psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last 8 psukim. And Yeshua wrote. So Yeshua wrote the last 8 psukim. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, he wrote it with dama. And Rashi said dama is he wrote it with tears. And although people struggle, but he wrote it. So, and the Gaon says a fascinating thing. He says that it was written. Dema comes from the word meleoscho b'dimacho. Comes from a thing of iruv, of mixture. So it's a scrambled form. Those last 8 psukim were not in the form when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. He wrote those letters because it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. But those last 8 psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, he wrote it in the form of Shemut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was the Torah of Soid, in the same form that Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was in Shemayim, that Shufi, and Moshe Rabbeinu never understood what those words were. So he says, it's not Machlokes, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them, like Rabbi Shimon says, he wrote them, but Dama, he wrote them in a mixed form. And then, once Moshe Rabbeinu had died, then Yeshua rewrote them in the form. He took those letters and he unscrambled them into the form of how we have it. So that was the Torah of, that's the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to us in that form, and therefore you have all those tzufim, you have all those letters which in Shemayim were in the form that we don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu takes this Torah down in the form of Pshat, and that's the form that we have it. And just to, it's earlier, but so I didn't tire myself, but there's 2 little other things to add to that. One thing, actually, there's a few things that I struggled with the Rashi, the first Rashi, when Rashi says the Bereishis, that why doesn't the Torah start with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lochem? It should start with the mitzvahs. Why does it start with Bereishis? Because of the Umas HaOlam having a claim against Klal Yisrael that we are listing, we robbers, we took Eretz Yisrael, we took everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm the one who created the world, I can give it to who I want. So the Taina of the Umas HaOlam is a Taina that if the Torah is only given from Matan Torah, there's a whole world before Matan Torah. So who says it should be yours? And the answer is, going back to what came out, he said, the Torah is the bris of Eish, it's already given from Shemayim. It's already there in the form of Soid, it's Yistakuwa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Torah is already there, it's Bereishis, it's always been there, and it's Tolev Omer, it's waiting until Matan Torah and Klal Yisrael accept the Torah, and then the Bria can crystallize into form as the Kerematzi says, now we have, it's a different world, a different Anhoga. When it says the birds stopped singing, everything stopped, it means that that Bria, as we know it, not that there was a new creation necessarily, but the Anhoga and the dynamics and the purpose of mankind in that world after Matan Torah, the birds singing took on a different meaning. So it had a different purpose. And that came with Matan Torah. And then Machrusa said there were two more interesting things that the Chasam Sofer brings, that at Matan Torah, the words that are used to express one of Klal Yisrael's fears, or the physical fear and trembling of the Torah, the Torah used the words Vayonu. Klal Yisrael, they trembled. Nu comes from moving. So they trembled out of fear when they got the Torah. The Chasam Sofer says, Vayonu means the words moved. The words of the Torah of Soed, which was in that form in Shomayim, when it came down, those words moved into the different form that we have it as Torah Pshat. That's what he says. And also, and then finally, he brings that we say every morning, we say V'harav No, Hashem Elokeinu, we say V'ni Anachnu Tetzeinu, we say Loim Yoyde Shmech V'Loim De Sorsecho. What's wasn't we say anymore? We should know your name, Yehuda Shmecha, and we should learn your Torah. What was it? So the Siach Yitzchok brings on the Siddur Groh. He brings there. He says that's what it is. Yehuda Shmecha is to know Hashem's name. Is to know that Torah of shame. To know the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our strive and aspiration is to know the Torah of shame of the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also learn the Torah Sechel, to learn your Torah through the Torah of Pshat. And the question is asked, why that way around? First, you know, when we started off, we said you go through the motto of the Torah of Pilpul, of understand the depth of Torah, of Halacha, then you can have Tal, then you can have the Jew, which is the Agoda, which you say is the Soil, and then you can have the Shemesh, and you can see on the Teva of the world, that's how a tree grows. And here we're saying the other way around. We're saying Soid, Yoyde Shmecha, Veloim De Sosecha. It should be the other way around if this is right. So we say about the Gaon. The Gaon could say this about the Gaon because yes, that's how we get to that level. We can only get at the aspiration. Okay, so you go through a life of understanding Halacha and Gemara and Pilpul, and you build yourself up. When you come to the level of the Gaon, who understood Torah of Soid in the depth, they say about the Gaon that his last years of his life, he didn't have a Sefer in front of him. All he had was a Chumash. And from the Chumash, because he knew everything was clear to him, you could see in the words of the Chumash, you could see from the Soid, he understood the Pshat. Everything was, the Shemus, everything was in front of him. You could see all the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there is a machlokes where it was, where they say that the letters were in a different order. The Gaonic seems to explain that there was the Irbu, there's a mixture. So you think there's a mixture, but I think the way the Shlok explained that the letters were just all together. There was no breaks in the letters. Whichever way it is, which we don't understand in any event, but which we strive for, we understand. We say every morning that's what our aspirations are. The Yoyde Shmecha V'Loim De Sarisecho. Yeah.